today?
So yeah, I work at the University of Missouri, even though John's trying to recruit me to Minnesota. And I've been tracking pretty carefully what's been going on with corn in the Midwest, getting up in airplanes and looking at it. And this picture was taken in Central Iowa in August 2008, and you can see in the foreground there's some corn that looks decent. It's probably not completely nitrogen sufficient, but it's decent with a few wet spots and drainage ways where there are yellow corn. Across the road, everything is deficient. It's just a matter of degree from awful to really awful. And there's a little field corner up here that you can see that's also not looking good. Some of these fields way back in the background that are kind of brownish looking are corn, and they're not quite as bad as this one. Anything that looks really green in this photo is soybeans. When I turned in my title there, I said, okay, we've got 3 years that this has happened in the Midwest. Well, it's been a fourth year now. And so I had to modify my title a little bit. But really what we're looking at here is what I would call the perfect storm. We had actually a whole lot of perfect storms that all came and covered the Midwest with a lot of rainfall. We ended up with a lot of denitrification and a lot of leaching, depending on the soil situations and when the precipitation came and how fast. So four wet springs across large areas, and that has happened in the past, but the difference in the last 4 years has been the size of the area that was affected. Usually there was somewhere in the Midwest, but rarely larger than, say, the size of one state that had a really substantially wet spring. There's been multi-state areas. We've ended up with widespread deficiency symptoms. Yield maps have showed us that in the yellow areas in these kind of fields, they do take a severe yield hit. My rough estimate is that we're looking at, in the four-year period, about 2 billion bushels of corn over the Midwest. And when you look at corn prices right now, we're starting to talk numbers that almost would matter on federal budget talks. Accompanying this nitrogen that is no longer in the fields and no longer supporting grain growth, there's been an increase in nitrate going down the river. We are proceeding with quantitative estimates of yield loss. The 2 billion is kind of a seat of the pants thing, but we have aerial images that we're trying to calibrate and get a more quantitative handle on how much yield has been lost. I'm really excited about the potential for aerial photos to be a tool to make decisions and help us take care of the situation. So we've been calibrating those aerial photos to both yield loss and how much nitrogen is needed to correct it. And finally, if you can't correct it, it's okay to understand it, but really the opportunity to correct it is crucial to this whole talk that I'm giving. And so I'm going to tell you that my experiences with rescue nitrogen, but in short, the experience is that it works. So that's where we're going. That's the outline. We've had four wet springs. I kind of use 16 inches of rainfall from April through June as kind of a critical value. Above that, you're really likely to get widespread deficiencies. So you can see that in 2008, most of Iowa, most of Missouri were above that threshold. Southern Wisconsin, southern Illinois, southern Indiana, eastern Kansas, Nebraska, Illinois, and Oklahoma all had areas that were very wet. 2009, it was more in the southeastern part. Missouri, most of Illinois, a little more than half of Indiana, all of Kentucky. 2010, a little more complicated, but again, very widespread across the Midwest. 2011, again, many states size area that's involved in that excessive rainfall. So it's moved around some. There are some areas that have been in more than 16 inches of rainfall all 4 years. For example, the corner where Missouri, Illinois, and Iowa come together has been inside that zone for 4 years in a row. But just a lot of rain over a large area and leading to widespread deficiency symptoms. I'll show you a few photos. I have a lot more on my website. If you Google nitrogen loss, you'll probably find my nitrogen loss page, and there are some aerial photo galleries there for 2009 and 10, and we're working to get 2008 up. This picture was taken in August 2008, and you can really see that if you're a soils person, that this is an alluvial soil, and the way that the soil was laid in and how that affects the hydrology and where the nitrogen was lost and where it was not lost. This is a deep lust soil in western Missouri, picture taken August 2009, And we'll come back to this field because I'll use it as an example of something we're working on. Here's a picture from a highway overpass in central Illinois. The only way you can get this much above the corn in central Illinois is to be on a highway overpass. And here's a picture from western Illinois in June 2010, and I'll use this as an example of how we can look at using images to make decisions at a time when you can still do something. So you'll see that one again, too. So let's start with yield maps. We've been able to track down, not a lot at this point, 3 yield maps for places where we have aerial photos from August. And this is one of them. So this is that same photo that I showed you earlier, but now it's geo-referenced, so it's tilted a bit to make north straight up. And we got the yield map for the field, and the photo didn't include the whole field, but a lot of it. If you look carefully, you'll see there's some cloud shadows on the field, so we cut those parts out of the analysis. And for the rest of the field, we did a regression of, we cut it into 20 by 20 meter chunks and did a regression of how green it was compared to the yield. And a higher green number means a lighter green color. And so these low green numbers are the darkest parts of the field, and the average yield with the dark corn is about 170 bushels. The average yield with the light corn is about 80 bushels. That's a 90 bushel difference, and that's a big difference. In this particular field, the yield width, the entire field average yield was about 45 bushels below the yields from the darkest areas in the field, the darkest 5%, which may not even have really been nitrogen sufficient. But assuming that they were, that yield loss was 45 bushels per acre. It's a 265 acre field. That comes to about 12,000 bushels. At 2009 price of $3.75 a bushel, that's $45,000 in this one field that that producer didn't make that year because of nitrogen deficiency. And this story was repeated over and over across the landscape. There were certainly programs that fared much better and fields that fared much better, and I have not succeeded in untangling the knot of why some fields looked okay and others did not. But it wasn't just the management practice, because some fields with the same management practice, one would look great and the other would look terrible. 2 billion bushels is my estimate. That's a kind of a shocking number in some ways, but if I was guessing and saying, am I high or low with that number, I'd say, if anything, I'm low. So this is just eyeball interpretation. I looked at 1,500 aerial photos that I took 3 years in a row, took about that many. And in 3 years, not in a row, but 3 out of these 4 years, I had about 2,000 miles of windshield survey in August. In 8 and 9, I carefully sat down and averaged all my estimates, my eyeball estimates for each region, and said, okay, I've got this many bushels I think I'm losing per acre on average in this region. How many acres of corn are there? How many bushels does that add up to? And just toted it all up. I didn't do that in 9 and 10, but just looking at the rainfall patterns and the imagery, I'm saying it was about 500 million bushels each year, roughly speaking. Well, USGS keeps nitrate data going down the Mississippi River, and I don't think it's an accident. It's because of this weather that we ended up with a lot more nitrogen going down the river. And it's not that we changed our management. It's just that we did the same management, and Mother Nature took away some of what we put on there and put it in the river, and I'm sure a lot more went into the air as well. Now, one of the things we're working on right now is trying to take the aerial surveys from August in 2008 and 2009 and put more solid numbers onto them. So this same map, rather than expressing it as yield like I showed you earlier, I'm expressing it as yield loss and putting the color into a relative green so that it'll be more transferable photo to photo. We have 3 fields right now where we have these kind of relationships. We're pretty much taking the median of those and using the equation from the regression line to apply to additional photos where we don't have yield maps. This shows the 2009 August survey. There was about 1,500 photos, and so the faint circles is about every 15th photo. That'll be about 100 photos that we'll end up analyzing if we manage to make it through that. We've got preliminary analysis of the first 8. There's some methodological things that we're still ironing out on those, and when my person gets back to work the 1st of November, we'll get back on that. But Right now, our estimates are about 27 to 68 bushels per acre average in those 8 photos that we've analyzed. I think that when we fix the methodological things, we'll probably end up with slightly lower numbers, so I'm not ready to stand on that yet, but we're trying to really put a more solid number on what we're looking at here. Here's where I think one of the exciting parts is that in late June, we found we were able to do the same kind of calibration. I'm not showing you the data. I have presented that before at ASA. But we have the same kind of, we have 7 fields where we have yield maps and aerial photos and some end stress, although 2 of the fields didn't have that much end stress. And we got a calibration, and I'll show you an example of applying that to Western Illinois. So here's a photo in late June. Anyone could look at that photo and say, you know, I have a problem. And they probably would say, I have a problem, and if I can do something about it, I certainly should. A lot of people aren't going to look at the aerial photo if they're going to look from the road. And a lot of people have had these kind of situations, and they've just simply failed to make a decision. My idea is put a tool into their hand that helps them say yes or no. If you know that you're losing a lot of money, then you start to say, okay, I can go to a lot of trouble to fix that problem. I can chase down a pilot who can come put nitrogen on my fields, or whatever the decision is and how that's going to happen. If you've got a higher motivation level, you're going to get it done more often. And I think that's something that we really have needed in this situation. So in this field, we apply a calibration from late June, early July aerial photos to this photo. We get a yield loss map that looks like this. Up in this red area, we're looking at areas where we're saying it's going to be more than a 60 bushel per acre hit, and the field average is 41. You can start to say, okay, now, do I have a problem? How big is it? Do I need to do something? Obviously, when it's 41 bushels, you can probably afford to do something, but there's going to be a lot of other fields that are more marginal, and where it's really going to be helpful in making the decision. Once you've decided that you need to do something, what are you going to do? We have separate research where we developed calibration between relative greenness and how much was the optimal fertilizer rate. We apply that calibration to the same photo, and we get this N rate map, and we've beta tested this a few times and done variable rate applications based on these aerial photos. And it makes sense that where you have more stress, you want to put more nitrogen because that's what it's going to take to catch it up. But will it really catch it up? And a lot of people say, oh, it's too late. The corn is too stressed. There's no point. It's too big and the yield is already lost. Or there's no point throwing good money after bad. Well, you actually need to test and find out what works and what doesn't work. And so the stars show where I've done rescue nitrogen experiments. In every case, this was a fully fertilized field, all fertilized pre-plant. Producers were concerned. Nitrogen was applied anywhere from thigh high to tassel. Over those 11 tests, average yield response was 34 bushels per acre, compared to side by side. They were all replicated with at least 4 replications. And compared to no additional nitrogen, the average response was 34 bushels. The size of that yield response depended on how stressed the corn was, and I don't have any quantification except we just looked at it and said high stress, medium stress, low stress. But the highly stressed corn averaged 57 bushels response, medium 41, and the low 14. So sometimes the high stress were in the same field as either a medium or a low stress area, and we found that putting on additional nitrogen did not fully catch that area up, but it was by far the most responsive area, was the more highly stressed area. So I think I feel fairly confident at this point that the ugliest, worst-looking corn is the most important corn to fertilize. How late is too late? Everyone gets into that, too. It's too late. Well, in 2010, we had 6 tests all applied at tassel, and the average response was 34 bushels per acre to nitrogen applied at tassel. I don't really know when it's time to give up if you've got a stressed field and you say, okay, now I can get nitrogen on. Well, when is the point that's too late? I don't know, based on a very small amount of data, mostly from Nebraska. I tell people about 2 weeks after tassel. So John's going to tell me if I have any time for questions or comments. I wouldn't want to dig into the next speaker.
Well, the next speaker is going to be really mad. One question. Fritz, can you say how you calculated your relative green number?
Right. The relative green is calculated from the photograph. The default is that we take every pixel, sort them high to low on green, and then we usually take the 10th percentile. So what it's saying is that we're assuming that 20% of that field is nitrogen sufficient, and we're taking the median of that 20%. We will make exceptions in cases where we look at the field and say 20% of that field is not nitrogen sufficient, so we'll take a lower percentile. And that's just based on pure human judgment of whether there is 20% that's nitrogen sufficient or not.
Okay.
I don't mind cutting into the next speaker.
Take one more. Is rescue nitrogen economic?
Well, let's say a pretty common rate would be to say put on, well, I mean, I was talking to Nathan a minute ago. He said a lot of people there do as a standard package. They put on 100 pounds of urea with a plane. That's 46 pounds of actual N. In places where they do a lot of it, I think it costs about $7 an acre. If you're getting a pilot to come from somewhere else, it's going to cost you more. Let's say it costs you $15 an acre because you're calling a pilot in from somewhere else and they're flying up and staging from your area. $15 an acre for that, so you're using 50 pounds of fertilizer. Of nitrogen, let's just round it, that would be about 30 bucks worth. So you're spending $45 an acre. Our average response is 34 bushels per acre, and you're running 6 bushels of corn, you're making $200 back on your $45 investment.